We come to Sif Yud Beis. Sif Beis Yud Gimel at the end of these halachis, which we've been dealing with now for quite a while. And the Mechaber in Sif Yud Beis is pretty clear. I'm sorry, the last page was not clear in all of them. So. Yeah.
But it's two of them, right?
Kuf Chav Tes is separate, yeah. Two separate things. Kuf Yud Ches, Sif Yud Beis. The Mechaber could not be clearer. Yesh lahachmir shaloi laniach hakadeiros etzal hashvachos kishein Yisrael babayis. It's a very clear mechaber. There's no mefarshim on it. Mechaber doesn't talk about b'diavad. He says lechatchila as clear as could be. Yesh lahachmir shaloi laniach hakadeiros etzal hashvachos kishein Yisrael babayis. The Rama says ve'ena yaitzav v'nichnas. Unless he's a yaitzav v'nichnas, we have to deal with two shaylas. A shayla of not lechatchila. Lechatchila is no question. It seems to be no question. The shayla of the kelim that are left in the house when people go to work and leave mishareses babayis, which is very common in our area, that people leave mishareses. Some people are careful. They have yaitz of nichnas. They come in every once in a while, which is good. But those who don't do yaitz of nichnas, it's common that there are problems. The problems come up every once in a while that they catch them. The most celebrated case I've had, repeated many times, it happened with Jerry Olav HaShalom when he was here, because I don't know if he thinks I make up these stories. Jerry comes over to me one day, you know which Jerry I mean, Bedford Avenue, on tape, I don't want to say his last name, but he comes over to me and he says, you know, you're saying all the years we shouldn't leave a maid in the house. I can't do it, my wife will listen to me, you know, like, I can't do it. We have a maid in the house. But we always warn her, you're not allowed to use the kitchen. He says to me, well, we came home last week, in the middle of the day, and she was downstairs cooking in the Pesach kitchen. And we said, what are you doing? And she said, you never told me I can't cook in the Pesach kitchen, in the basement kitchen. You told me I can't cook in the main kitchen. So she was there for many years cooking in the Pesach kitchen. Now, if you're going to have a guy make your kitchen treif, it's better they should make your regular kitchen treif. Because when it's ain't ben yoma, it doesn't answer. Making your Pesach kitchen treif, a Pesach, it's a chametz, answers your food, even if it's ain't ben yoma. At least for Ashkenazim. It has your food even if it's Eina Ben Yaima. So, once she used it for Chametz any time in the year, it's going to ask her on Pesach. You mean because it's a terrible when it's before Pesach? That's what you mean? Okay, maybe. But at any rate, it's a problem. There's a problem with people who use the kitchen, and if you're careful, you can do it right. Like, there's no way to do it is one thing. But you have to do two things. You have to warn her, and you have to be yaitzav v'nichnas, and then it works. Without that, it does not work. Now, what? So I want to explain, there are two issues. One is a food issue, and one is a pots or oven issue. Okay? The Shiloh's her switching food, when she doesn't have anything to gain, is obviously, if you let her eat, why would she switch anything? The shaila that the mechaber is saying lo niach hakadeiros etzal hashvachos. He's not saying lo niach hafood, niach hakadeiros etzal hashvachos. K'shen Yisrael b'bayis. So here we have a shaila l'gabi the pots. Now last week, a week ago today, the shul had its so-called virtual dinner. Take one of these also, please. Yeah, and Rav Asher Weiss addressed the question in a way that seems to be a chiddush to me. Now we're trying to get this contraption to work and show it so you can see the visual as well. I don't know. In my office, I have one of these old tape recorders. I was going to just record it there. I couldn't find a blank tape, so I couldn't do that either. But here we have. I'm going to play it on someone's phone using the benefit of a mic, so everyone could hear it. It's directly, he addresses directly Sif Yud Beis, as you'll see in a moment. What? You want? Oh, that one. Okay. Oh, that's a different phone. So I'd like you to listen and...
Different than here, something different.
Okay.
So it's a chus for me, and I'm happy to participate in
this hear
beautiful
it?
Event in your Kayla. So thank you, Rabbi Eisman.
Okay.
Thank you for your kind words. I appreciate it.
Can you hear it?
Jump straight into some of the questions that were posed. The first two questions regard kashrus issues, and they're very much halachic issues. I think I'll just combine the two of them into one question. And the question arises, before COVID, I found myself being invited out to other couples for Shabbos meals. I look forward to continuing once the pandemic passes. Most of us in Rav Reisman's Kehillah are makbid not to allow a non-Jew to be alone at home with access to the kitchen. However, there are members of other Kehillahs in our community who are not careful about this. They do allow them into the kitchen. Some of those are good friends. What should we do when we are invited to such a home? More specifically, these are a related question, is that many people rely on Yaitzev and Nichnas, on the fact that they leave but occasionally come home. The question we're asking is whether Yaitzev and Nichnas is reliable enough, a heter, for us to use. Is it l'chatchila? How often must somebody who leaves be a Yaitzev and Nichnas? And I guess by way of curiosity, how often do Hashem visit plans to fulfill Yaitzev and Nichnas? I guess it's a very broad question on this very relevant kashrus issue.
So let me say this. There seems to be a contradiction between two Sifim in Yeradeism and Kuf Yud Ches. In Sif Yud Beis, the Shulchan Aruch says we should not let a non-Jewish maid in the kitchen alone or in the home alone, because you might switch some of the foodstuffs and put non-kosher food into your pots and take some of your own food. And that is why we need Yotzer and Nechnas, and that is the basis of this question. How do we define Yotzer and Nechnas? However, in Sif Yud, in that very same siman, we learn that there is no reason to be chayshish shem or hichlef unless he has benefit from changing his food for ours. Otherwise, there is no need to be chayshish. We never need to be afraid that a non-Jew would change our food to be machshav us, only if he would have benefit from it. And the source of this halacha that we find in Sif Yud is in Tosfos Avot Zohar Daf Yud Beis, the tool quoting the Rosh. And most of the major poskim, the Shachan Reisha Abba, Bavan Abba, Tavkut Yud Zayin, and the Yehuda, Madura Kami Yoradeus, the Manan Ches, says that we don't even need proof to such a simple halacha. So how do we reconcile these two Sifim? While in Sif Yud, the Machabe clearly says that there is no need to be Chayshish unless there is a reason for the guy to do so, for his own personal benefit and joy. Otherwise, you don't need to be chayshish, but Sif Yud Beis seems to say that you always need Yotzer v'Nichnas. So the way to reconcile what seems to be a stira is when we check the two quotes the Rosh, even though the two writes, we are not chayshish l'chilufim, only if the non-Jew would have benefit, but Yerei Shamayim should be Makbid. So the two quotes is great father the Rosh, that even though by basic halachic criteria we could be lenient, but Yerei Shamayim should be makbid. And why is that? For two reasons. Because many times it was a kilkul or a mirsha. And the other reason is, it's a fleshing in dish. and the non-Jewish maids are flashing a dish, and the non-Jewish maid might put in some milk, kidei lehashbiach, to make the dish, the food, more beautiful. So why do we need to be chayshish that you might put milk into your flashing of food? Two different interpretations according to the Kansas Agdala. We're dealing with a maid that's responsible for cooking. She's a chef, and therefore she will do everything to make the food more appealing, more tasty. So according to the preacher, this entire deal is not relevant if you have a non-Jewish nanny at home, but she has nothing to do in the kitchen. According to the Knesset Sekhdal, we're dealing with a chef. According to the preacher, it is only if that non-Jewish lady or man working in your house eats from the same food, and he might like Bosa B'chavav. The other reason quoted by the tour is Kamet Ba'omen Iro Kirkul, and that is based on Shuvas HaRash Kalayu text in the New Ches, and the Rash explains because the non-Jew has his own food, so he might mix his food into your food. So when we have non-Jewish ladies or people working in our home, but they don't eat from our food, they're not responsible for cooking or preparing our food, and they don't bring raw meat from home, and they might put their meat into our pots, there's no reason to be choishish, even Yirei Shemayim. Nevertheless, the minig and the proper hanhug is not to leave non-Jewish people at home, especially maids, unless it is Yitzhak the Nechmas. But B'shas Tzadchak, we definitely could be lenient. So, I am inspired and I praise your Kehela. If the members of your Kehela would not leave the house, the non-Jewish maid, unless they are Yitzhak the Nechmas, but B'shas Tzadchak, we definitely could be lenient. And therefore, if you have friends and you feel uncomfortable turning down an offer to visit, you could definitely eat their food and visit their homes, even though you know that they are makel to leave non-Jewish maids at home, even though it might not be a Yitzhak and Nichols situation. It is very difficult to clearly define Yitzhak and Nichols. I know that people today come to a room and they ask questions and they expect to have a clear, definitive answer to every question. So how much is the time lapse in Yitzhak and Nichols? I would very much be happy if I could tell you 3 minutes, 30 in Chalok, but that is language we use only once a month, Shabbos Mavor, by Berchus HaChodesh. It is not the language of Halacha. Halacha usually deals with concepts, with generalities, so I cannot say how much time is Yetzer HaNechatz, but the basis of this din is logical. If the non-Jew in your home is fearful that you might just open the door and come in, that would be defined as Yitzhak the Nechatz. So if that non-Jewish maid is working in your house for years and she knows your schedule and she knows that between 8 and 4 you would never come home, that would no longer be defined as Yitzhak the Nechatz. Regarding Yehud, there's a very famous Chazanish. The Chazanish says this room is the door is open. Yehud is about psychology. So the man or woman that are mishaved in your home know that you're probably not going to be coming home. This is not a time you would come home, but if somebody could just open the door and walk in, Chazal say that's not an issue in Yehud. Yehud is different. It doesn't have the same psychological input and basis as problems of Yehud. And therefore, the concept of the benefits is only if a non-Jew would reasonably doubt or be afraid, you might just walk in and find him meddling with your pots in the kitchen. That would be defined as Yehud. But if he knows your schedule and he knows that you've never come home at this time of the day, that would not be defined as Yitzhak HaNechatz. So either you lack a kitchen or But once again, I say, by basic halachic criteria, it definitely would not be an issur b'di'evet. It is a beautiful many to be choshesh l'chadchila. But as I said, if you feel uncomfortable declining an offer to visit a friend or to have a Shabbos meal with a friend, you definitely could be made.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Rav Weiss.
Thank you.
I found my phone.
All right, if you have time. Yeah, for public disclosure, it's not a song. I tried on your flip phone. It doesn't play on the flip phone. What? What? So this is what I the reason I played it is because the button's on this side. Just shut it off, yeah. The reason that I played it is because I want you to hear. You can listen to it again after. It was the first question I asked. I wasn't about to challenge him and follow up. I'll read to you a makar that says what he said. And it's certainly true, the guy be the food in your house. There's no question that the guy has no reason to switch food on you. And especially if you give him permission to eat whatever he wants or she wants, there's no reason to be chayshish that food will be switched. The makar for what he said is almost word for word in the Kafa Chaim, which I told you of Kuf Yud Ches is Rav Avadia. In Sivkot and Kuf Chaf Aleph, he brings the Tshuvas Harash that Rav Weiss mentioned. L'niach tashel b'shus ha-shvachais she-mevi'en lehem basar mi-amakulin shalakum vaday osir kol she'en Yisrael yaitze v'nichnes. In the Tshuvas Harash, he says that it's also to leave things with a guy if there's no yaitzav inichnas. Then he has a stira to the rush on Daf Yud Beis and Avay Dezara. There he says, "Al zeh saimchin laniach kederis yaitzav ashvachis kishaholchin lebeis hakneses." There he says that since there's no benefit, you can go to shul and leave the guy at home. V'nochein liray shemaim lahachmir ki kama pamim irakilkul bedavar. As Rabbi Weiss says very eloquently, "Ira kilkul bedavar," that something in Yerei Shemayim should be machmir. So one place the Rosh says it's also ben adin. In one place it says Yerei Shemayim, alma de min adin muter. So to answer the stira, he brings here, I believe, from the Pritayar, ha medina shari calls man shelo yirei kilkul. If you have no experience of a kilkul, it's mutter min adin, it's just Yerei Shemayim. If you have experience, you get caught once, so now you can't rely, and you have to be careful.
So at best, it's only mutter b'di'evet.
It says Yerei Shemayim yachmir, yes. Rav Weiss was addressing b'di'evet, you're invited to a friend, and so it's a b'di'evet.
Rav Weiss had these questions and other questions in advance?
He had them all in advance. Now, let me just finish. Now, I think that what he said is true about food, but not about pots. You see, food, there's no reason he would switch it. When it comes to the pots, if the guy wants to make something to eat or brings his food and wants to warm it up, there he would have a benefit. And that's really what has happened in the numerous cases that came up. Rabbi Weiss spoke on Sunday. I believe on Tuesday, in the dormitory, they have a room with a microwave and a toaster oven and a refrigerator. They came, they found the guy that cleans up. The guy is just made his job just to come in and clean up. They found him with his tray for lunch. He put it into the microwave to warm it up in the dorm. So the shy lady will be asking me is whether they can use the toaster oven. I mean, they only caught him with the microwave. What about the toaster oven? So I told them that they have to throw out the toaster oven. They have to put a lock on the door with a combination. How's the guy going to clean it? Okay, you're going to have to clean it yourself, which in a dormitory is not likely to happen. But usually from Pesach to Pesach, it gets cleaned. I remember when I was in the dorm, we had the old freezers. Remember, they used to get a buildup of ice? So we have four guys in the room. It was a game of nerves who's going to clean it. When you couldn't fit a can of soda in between the two layers of ice, that's when we defrosted it. And I remember one time one of my roommates got this great idea. It was about midnight. to defrost it in a rush. So he took a paperback book, lit it on fire, and stuck it into the freezer, which certainly makes it defrost more quickly. The problem was the smoke alarms work in the dorm. Baruch Hashem, no sprinkler system, but the smoke alarms worked. But so he was a Chassidish fellow, and it was a Zionist book that he was. He enjoyed it very much. There was a song about Tel Gadol b'Tel Aviv. He used to read it to us every night. It may be the guy was not warned. I don't think anybody. He wasn't supposed to be staying there. He just was supposed to walk around cleaning the rooms and cleaning the kitchen. So the Itaka wasn't warned. But so I want to read to you the Igros Moshe. I read it here yesterday by Shachris, but Ramesh is unequivocal. Yeah. The Chuvas HaRosh is Ta'aser. Yirei Shemayim is in the Rosh on Avodah Zarah. Okay, that's where the quote is from. Ramesh is a one-paragraph, simple, direct tshuva, Simon Samach Aleph in the first volume of Yeridaya. I'm going to be in contact with Rabbi Weiss to try to get some clarity. Again, what he said about food is definitely true. There's no reason the guy would switch to food. I've never encountered anybody who was chayshish for it, who found the guy switching food. But Nigris Meish, it says... this is written in Tavshin Yotes. This is a tshuva goes back. B'dvar ma sheshiru mishareses nachris bebayis b'shvil ayaladim. People are leaving a lady in the house to watch the children. Vaday hayos lechatchila laniach nachris. Certainly lechatchila you're not allowed to leave a guy in the house. She'ef shalachosh shetavash she'la'atzma. It may be that she'll cook for herself. Lupamim gam hayaladim. And sometimes she'll even cook for the children. Even though it's not her job to cook. Still, we're afraid she'll cook for herself. That's lechatchila. What about b'di'eved? Avol b'di'eved, yesh lahatir l'shtamish b'hakelim achar me'es la'es. What he's saying is, you leave a guy in the house, Ramesh says all the kelim in the house are awesome for 24 hours because of the chashash that the guy may have used it. So the kelim in the house are awesome for 24 hours. Shiyaos feka derabanan. Kavash kasa rama kufcha beis tes. Now you may think Ramesh is being machmir. He's coming. He's being machmir. You can't use a meisleis. So Ramesh explains that this is a kula, as he says the following. I'm reading straight. Afilu lahatas of katan ches the b'niyis niyach etzel nachri b'meizid asurim akerim kelim. So the Taz says if you leave a guy with the kelim, it's also forever. But here Ramesha says to be mekel b'kan ein lahachshiv l'meizid. Here it's not really amazed. The hayutayim sheish l'smayach al hashchein hashenech nesas, because they thought they could rely on a neighbor who comes in. They didn't think about it. But you have to warn them about the future. That's the whole tshuva. I read you really the whole tshuva except for the Maramachim. But Ramesha clearly holds that it's Aser, and B'di'eved the Kelma Aser Me'islay, so as long as they're Benyami you have to be Chayshish. Now someone asked me once if I have a stack of 8 dishes, so maybe she used some dishes, why would she stick it underneath? I should be allowed to take the bottom dishes and use them. All right, maybe it's a good svara. Use the bottom dishes or the bottom pots. Good. But the Ikar HaDin, it's really hard to get away from the language of the Shulchan Aruch here. The language of the Shulchan Aruch is Yesh Lahachmi, Loila, Niach HaKderes, Desa HaShvachas. The Chatchila, the Mechabah says that it's Aser. And in the B'di'eved, Ramesh is basing on Kusim and Kufchav Beis that it's Aser, at least Meis Leis. By a Meizid, it's Aser Loilam. All the Kelim. So what? What? So I have to tell you that the chiddush meisleis is a chiddush. There's a rule in Yeridaya, a suffik derabbanan shenizgalgel mesuffik deraisa is aser. The klala, it's called nizgalgel, means, let's say you have a shaila that's right now a shaila v'derabbanan. You have a suffik treifus. Suffik treifus is a shaila v'deraisa. It's aser min ha-Torah. Sveika is aser. Later, let's say you took the suffik treifus and it got mixed into a taruvus in a way that min ha-Torah is batel b'raiv, and midrabanan need shishin. Okay, lach balach, midbeminai, midrabanan need shishin. Min ha-Torah, it's right. So now you'll say it's a suffik derabanan. So the klal is, we say suffik derabanan, shin nizgalgil, it had a gilgal, it was resurrected from the continuation of an issa deraisa. So then we were done as a suffik deraisa, because you have to pass in the shiloh when it's a suffik deraisa. Here, Ramesh is being makel because of the nature of the shiloh, that you can rely to aser only meisleis, and after meisleis, call it a suffik derabanan. Now that itself is a chiddush. There's a Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger who deals with the svara of nizgalgel in a very common shiloh. Very often people inherit grandma's dishes and don't remember if they're fleishik or milachik. And more common with Pesach dishes, which are not used that often. So the household dishes, usually you remember what's fleishik, what's milachik. Very often the Pesach dishes were not used for 25 years. And when she got older, she went to the children. And you don't know if it's milachik or fleishik. So what do you do? It's a common shayla, at least for Rabbanim, it's a common shayla, because it comes up all the time. About dishes, about serving dishes, about silverware. Silverware, kakasha, is not so hard. What about china? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger there says it's a suffik derabanan. It's ainu ben yaimai. It's a suffik derabanan shen nizgalgel midaraisa. So Rabbi Moshe says, so Rabbi Akiva Eiger there is done. When it was a ben yaimai, there was no suffik. When it was within 24 hours of its last use, there was no suffik. They knew of its milchiks or fleishiks. And it's only a suffik now. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger is makel, not by treifus, but milchiks to fleishiks, a 50-50 chance anyway that you're getting it right. I think he says to kasher it anyway, to do one kashering, a cheres, which may or may not help. I think the Har Tzvi says to kasher it three times, or maybe the opposite. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says three times, Har Tzvi says once. They both have the shaila. That's the din of a suffik derabanan. It's galgul from a derais. But al kapanim, Ramesh is mekel after meis la'eis. Obviously, if the woman is there all the time, there's never a beyond a meis la'eis, and there's a problem. She cook for herself. She make herself a scrambled egg. It's bishul akum. It's trade. What? I understand. Scrambled egg is this a derabanan? Okay. The chashash is she put some chalav into the basar. Your roast beef tastes much better with butter. Ever tasted it? No. It's the way it is. It just tastes better. Ramesh's case, Hishiru Mishuresis Nafis Mabayis Mishila Yaladim. That's his case. They left the babysitter. You don't know if she cooked, right? That's the case. That's his case. Yeah. Now today, it's a lot easier. First of all, if you could be Yaitzev and Nifnis, that's what bothers me. There's really an Eitzev. Not everyone has the Eitzev. If someone gets on the train and is in Manhattan, it's not a good Eitzev. But if somebody has the ability to pop into the house every once in a while, you could be a Yaitzev and Nifnis. The question is how often a Yaitzev and Nifnis, and we're going to see a shach here in Kuf Yud Ches on that topic, but you could be a Yaitzev and Nifnis. And then the question of closed circuit cameras, that really they should be helpful, because but again, you have to tell her she's not allowed to cook. If you don't tell her she's not allowed to cook, the cameras don't help. But you have closed circuit cameras, and I was fortunate, my children were going up, we were able to get Yiddish women at the babysitter. Once happened that she couldn't come, she didn't feel well, she sent her granddaughter. The granddaughter was unfortunately had no shakas to frumkeit. So I took the toaster oven and the black grates from the stove and the knobs from the oven, and I put them in my car, wherever I put them, because you know, they now suddenly had someone in the house that I could not trust. So it's an issue. But at the very least, l'chatchila, you have to be careful. Now, I do want to say a little bit of pushback. Ramesha does not say all the food in the house is aser. He doesn't say that. He says all the pots are aser meislais. He doesn't go so far as to say, you go into the house, you eat there, we have to aser the food too. He doesn't go that far to say it. Obviously, she didn't use all the pots. You know, maybe she used one pot, maybe she used two pots. How many pots could she possibly use? And there's so many pots in the house. So Ramesha is not asering the food. He's asering the kalim. Nevertheless, I personally just don't feel comfortable eating in a house where there's a mishareses who's allowed to free reign to be in the house.
But should she have to clean the pots? Because if you see it's dirty, you know, she doesn't use it.
She cleans it.
She has to use it and clean it.
Yeah, that's okay. They clean the pots that we make dirty. She doesn't clean the pots she made dirty. Right? That's her job. She cleans things. So. Okay, at any rate, that's part one of Sif Yud Beis, Yeshahach, Yud Leyan Yachakadera, Eitzel. Yeah, it's all funny. Rav Weiss addressed this. If Yud Beis talking about the food, it doesn't say that. It says, Leyan Yachakaderas. So he meant that what's wrong with Kaderas, the loss of food. I guess that's how he understood it. Because if Yud Beis says food, but nevertheless, the Svara, that she wouldn't do it if she has no benefit, is certainly true la halacha. She wouldn't do it if she has no benefit. We're just saying, switching, she wouldn't have any benefit in switching. It's true. The question is, she'd have a benefit in using, and that's where it comes up.
There are two issues here. The issue is you're talking about vishalakam, or the issue of that she's giving aid milk to something.
Right.
There's no milk in the house. So
the problem is they bring their own food. They do bring their own food. And people like what they like, you know. And generally, they bring their own food, and it's an issue.
Yeah, but anything she cooks, she's not going to put in the fridge for you. She's going to eat it. So you're not going to find.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the food. I'm worried about the pan. So, you know, it's an issue, what should I tell you? It's, I don't know how common the problem is. As a Rav, probably twice a year, three times a year, someone tells me they caught the guy working. Now, I don't know if that three is a pool of how many people that do it and don't catch. I have no statistical information. I'm just telling you that every Rav in the area gets the shayla a few times a year that they caught the guy cooking treifas. If she used it, it's a ben yayma. If she didn't use it, it's a ben yayma. We don't know. I'm saying you're right. But the chashash she used it is a chashash that she used it today. On that chashash that she used it, it's a chashash for today.
So that's
an eitzah. There's an eitzah to have two microwaves, and one for kosher, one for non-kosher. In an office, sometimes you have goyim and yidden. So if you have a one microwave designated for kosher, one for non-kosher, you give the guy a pot. You know, probably giving her a pot, you have to give her a spatula, you have to give her all the kalim. But we're not chayshish a guy to do it deliberately to be mashal you. We're chayshish the guy to do it. So sometimes you have an elderly person who's stuck in bed, lo yaleinu, and the helper, you know, the person stuck in bed is not a yetzer v'nichnes, and you have to have a helper, you just can't do it. So people are samech b'shas hadchak. And the best thing is to give the guy her own microwave or her own thing to use.
But she said this guy
has done that much. But it's true that it says in Sif Yud that's only when they have a benefit, not when they have no benefit. So to be mashul chazal or chayshu, the chayshu she'll do it because she has some type of benefit.
Now,
well, put in a camera, okay. It's a problem. When you go into a 7-Eleven, so if they give you a sealed container of Chalav Yisrael, it's one thing. But if it's an open container, when they run out of one, they may put in the other. They might put in... Only if he has a benefit. There, if he runs out of Chalav Yisrael, he's selling coffee, he has a benefit by having what customers think is Chalav Yisrael. He's selling it. He's selling it. He's the guy selling in the store. If he doesn't care about the store being successful, then you're right. If he has no benefit. Shalom Bayis is the biggest Shas Sadchak that you could have. Someone said, it says in the Mishnah, Al Tarbe Sicha Imo Isha. It's a Stam Mishnah. Al Tarbe Sicha Mishnah B'Ishto Yamru. You shouldn't talk to your wife too much. So someone said, it's a rule, Stam Vach, Kach Machloik is Ein Aloch Kestam. He says, a Stam Mishnah, don't talk to your wife too much. But afterwards, at least to a Machloik is. So stam vachach machloikis, so ain't alocha kistam. But David Skop, you were patiently is addressed already. Okay. Yeah. So we're not chayshish that a guy will do a lahakis unless we know. If it breaks down, or if there's a line, if there aren't enough, there are more people than the machines. You have to know the mitzvahs. Then you have a small office. We have 10 workers. You have 10 workers in an office. Half of them are yidden, half of them have the lagayim. So you have two microwaves. It usually does the trick. They use the kosher one. They don't care. Okay. And according to what says halacha, it's not a problem. Okay. He says his experience is that they don't care. Okay. So you should have to put a combination on it, that's all. Okay, let's learn Yaitza V'Nichnas. Okay, Yaitza V'Nichnas is a very important halacha. Shach Lamid Beis limits Yaitza V'Nichnas. Shach Lamid Beis goes back on Sif Yud, where Yaitza V'Nichnas was mentioned the first time. And Shach Lamid Beis makes a very important a chilek, the gra later in Hilchas Yayin Nesef, in Kuf Chav Tes, which I gave out copies of, tzech and tzu, this shach. Notice he paskins like this shach. Zok the shach. B'chulin daf gimel dayik miyahilishna da meniach. It says, hameniach ay v'kabim bebeisoy. If you left a guy in your house, and you ate a v'nichnis, it's okay. Hainu di'evet. It's mashma, the heter of Yaitzev Nichnas is only b'di'evet. Miyu, masik ha'asam afilu chatchilomot to be Yaitzev Nichnas. However, the maskana there is that it's motiv l'chatchilom. So it seems to be a contradiction from the lashon of the Braisa and the maskana sagamara. Ket sarach laime, the mashkosav atur v'shulchan aruch haylishna, the language hameniach, which sounds like b'di'evet, mishum seifa noktu. The Shah's man Rav for loy hadia shadaita lishais. Make chilup between the yaitz of a nichnis and someone who Shah's man Rav, somebody who goes away for an extended period, for loy hadia shadaita lishais. Obviously, if you tell him I'm coming back tomorrow or I'm coming back in 4 hours, that's not yaitz of a nichnis. But if you're going away for a long time, you don't tell him. Deine mutter elabidi evan. So he's making a very important chilup. In the Paiskim called this maflik. Yaitzev Nichnas is if you come back in a brief and shorter period of time. Maflig means you're going away for a long period of time, but you don't tell the guy that. If you tell the guy I'm going away for many hours, it doesn't work. So you're going away for Zman Rav, that's B'di'evich, because a Rav l'kamon kuchav tes alef, t'b'kai gavno os l'chatchil la'ayin sham, u'ami amardachai, etc. So this shach is an important shach, and that is machalek between Maflig and Yaitzev Nichnas. Now, I had copies of Kuf Chav Tes, which many of you may have taken. Those have a Shulchan Aruch could turn to it. In Siman Kuf Chav Tes, where the din of Yaitzev Nichnas is brought, I marked off three important criteria, three important things that says in Shulchan Aruch and the Rama. Kuf Chav Tes Sifal, at Aminia Chayve Kechavim, b'chanusai, you leave a guy in the store v'yaitzei, or shalayim b'svina, b'karin, v'niachamai v'kechavim, or you're sending it with a wagon or a boat. Or you give it to a car service, you leave him alone. V'yatza mutter. It's mutter if you can come at any time. L'chatchila, now that's number one. L'chatchila lo yiniach adam bebeisa yayin echem yitachavim levad klal. Avol b'dieved mutter. He's going to say, because he has something else, we're going to finish reading the Mechaber. So Ramah says it's only b'dieved. That's important. The Shach says that it's only mutter b'dieved is only zman rav. If you're going away for an extended period. If you're a real yaitzev nichnas, then it's mutter. And the Mechaber goes on, afilu shah zman rav. So zman rav is mutter, but it's not lechatchila. Number two, v'hu shaloi noida shesagrei v'kavam machanos. It can't be that the guy locked himself in. If he locked himself into the room, aishirchek hakarav asvina, or he drove away binyan she'en yachaylum l'raisai, and you can't see him. So that's not going to help. Yes, it doesn't help if you have to ring the bell and the guy has to let you in. It has to be that you have access to be able to get in, which in homes is generally the case. People have access to their own homes. In stores and plants, it's more difficult because in many plants, you really can't get in unless you check in with the fellow at the door, certainly during a pandemic. They don't just let people in. So there, Yaitzev Inichtis doesn't work. However, there's an exception. In parentheses, address Ramah, afila sagar chanus. Kol man sheyesham sedak oichur shechay lireis b'saychei chashiv kipasuach. If there's a hole and you could peek in, it's considered open, and this would be a heter for the cameras, for the closed circuit cameras, because as long as you could peek in, that's enough to create a mirtus. So number one was that it's not lechatchila. And we're saying that's only in the case of Zman Rav. Number two, it's only if he doesn't lock himself in. We're saying that if you have a camera, it's okay. And Bamedvar Mamurim, number three, Shiesh Derech Akalasain, Shiachal Lovoi Olav Pisain, Shalay Yirena. If it's possible that you'll pop in on him suddenly. Now, Derech Akalasain means there's a shortcut to be able to get in. Even if he saw him going, he knows he's not going to come back quickly. And he knows that you're not watching it. Anytime you let him know you're going to be away from a long time, if it doesn't have a simin, then it's us. So we're saying he has three things. Number one, it's not lechatchila, if it's man rav. Number two, it can't be the guy locked himself in. And number three, that you have to be able, it has to be possible for you to pop in at any given moment. At least he has to think. And you may know that it's not possible. He has to think that it's possible for you to pop in at any given time. Now, these are three conditions for Yaitzev Nechnes. So it's interesting. When Rabelsky started with the OU, he schmoozed with, he liked to talk about these things, and he schmoozed about what he hopes to help in the OU. It goes back many years. I assume what he hoped to help helps. He said the scheduled visits he's doing away with. If you schedule a visit to a plant in ahead of time, so that's not Yaitzev Nichnas. He doesn't want to do scheduled visits. And then he says plants that are open on Shabbos, they're going, they can be open on Shabbos. But they know the rabbi's not coming on Shabbos. He said he wants to do occasional surprise visits on Shabbos, however he's going to arrange that. And the third thing he said is when a rabbi comes and leaves, say, no, he's not coming back for the next day or two. You know, so he wants to do that every once in a while, you know, to go to the airport and turn around and come right back. So there should be a more of a mirtus. I know one person was a friend of mine that works for the OU, and Taka, when he came in many years ago, there were scheduled visits, and they did away with it. Instead of arranging ahead of time with a scheduled visit, they do surprise visits. They pop in, and that's the way it's supposed to be done. Yeah, cameras generally will help. I took a look at some of the tshuvas of those who are against the cameras. And one of the tshuvas, his taina on cameras, is that it's the lemaisa, it's like mafleg zman rav. People don't really check their cameras, which can be corrected. But the fact is that way. I put in a closed circuit camera in my kitchen one summer, because one of the Russian girls that lived there was having her parents come. Now, she herself was from. Her parents were not from, and we told them they can't use the kitchen. And I told the girl, we're putting in the camera, and I'll be in camp, I'll be able to look at the kitchen. And, you know, then I'll let her cook there. And I did. I was able to turn on everything. But it's not generally, since then I haven't looked at it once. I hope I have no reason to look at it. We don't have, not from people. But if you know the camera is not working and he doesn't know, that's really good, because it's out mirtis. The heter is not actually going to catch him. The heter is because he's mirtis, and he has to be mirtis. And
Mahar looks at the cameras at least once a week.
Once a week. Yeah, but you see, that's at the cash register. But what about at the place where the meat gets cut? That's. No, the question is how often they look at it. How often anybody looks at it. I don't mean dafka them. It's really the heksher's job. Today, I think all the heksherim, I know by us it's that way. To get a heksher, you have to give the code. We have to be able to dial into the camera. Every store we give a heksher on that produces food has a closed circuit camera. And part of applying for the heksher is you have to give us the code that we can get in. Now they all say, but not the one over the cash register. We say, fine, whatever you do with the cash register, even if it's not kosher, it's not to do with the heksher, you know, the gelti, your kosher, this kosher. But they give it. And I have to tell you, I don't know how often anybody goes in, anybody actually looks at it. I hope they look at it often. But in a home, you makayim it. You don't do zman rav. You pop in all the time. Yeah. So the question is, how often zman rav? Okay, I don't know. The factories, there's one more thing here that's very important. In a factory, as opposed to a home, factories generally, as opposed to a restaurant, a factory has a predictable schedule of production. Generally, in a factory, it's very predictable. They make whatever it is that they make. They make wise potato chips. They make a certain amount of regular potato chips or their barbecue potato chips. It doesn't really change. There might be a summer season that's busy and they ramp it up, but they have a schedule. They don't run out of potatoes or oil or salt in the middle of the day. So in a factory, there's very little chashash that they're going to be machlif. Even over his man rav, there's no real nehenah b'chalipin. And although without a heksher, they might just go and buy oil that's not pure vegetable oil. They may get vegetable oil that's treif. The potatoes and salt are always kosher, but they may get some of that treif. But if they have a system where they're getting kosher ingredients all the time, it really, we do yaitzav v'nichnes, but we do zman rav because there's small, very small risk of nehenah b'chalipin. It's not that way, first of all, in restaurants, where they may sell, let's say, 10 steaks a night, and one night, a bunch of yeshiva guys come, sorry, they need 30 steaks, so they have to run out to the store and get it somewhere. Or they may need more vegetables, and they may go out and buy a head of lettuce instead of lettuce with a hash. So local stores, generally, you need a more frequent yaitzav v'nichnes, as opposed to plants, which, except for the plants that use meat or fish, which are much more yetzahara to be nehenah b'chalipin, because it's cheaper. But generally speaking, most of the plants is not, the chashash is not that great a chashash that we have to be machbir to be as this all the time. What? Yeah, but yo-yo policy is not to. Ramay shows you have to have mashgiach tamidi, but not every hechsher follows that.
A plant also okay. Has health thing going for them. That they for a small amount they won't change because to lose their hechsher, you must breed them.
The question that he asked was if Yosef Nichtas is 3-4 times a year, whether there's a real mirtis. That was the question he was asking. So I'm saying, if you really need the Yitzhak and Echnes, you know, it's one thing. If the chashash is a small chashash in the first place, so.
But
in a home, I would think that that's only been the evid. It's you have to try to pop in often. Yeah, it has to be a mirror to say you're going to look at it. Yeah, you could check it, record it, save it for a couple of weeks. Yeah, but will you? Does anybody do it? That's the question. And okay. It's fine. It's a funny thing that every time these guys do, they always get caught with cameras. What's going on with the crooks in New York? Every time something happens, right away the NYPD has a picture of the guy. Why aren't they worried about cameras? It doesn't sound there's some mirtis of cameras. I don't know why. What? This is no bail. Okay. I had to get at least a hot meal, right? They got a hot meal. And okay. There's an interesting tshuva in the Rav Palim about taking a nap, about going to sleep. If you have somebody in the house, and you're going to sleep, whether that could be a yitzav v'nichnas. So he writes in the tshuva that when you go to sleep for the night, that's not good. If you take a nap during the day, so he's saying directly that if you go to sleep, they take a nap during the day. So people, you take a nap, sometimes you nap for 5 minutes, sometimes you nap for 30 minutes, sometimes you nap for 2 hours. But most people, when they're going to take a nap, it's not a big chashad. He brings a very nice raya. This is the Kaf HaChaim. He brings it that there's another place in Yitzhak v'Nichnas besides Yeridaya. That's in Evin Ezer by Yichud. But when there's an Issa Yichud, it helps a Yitzhak v'Nichnas to a certain degree. I shouldn't say that. Let me go a step back. By Yichud, in Apetrubis LaRoyis, you can't visit once a week and call that Yitzhak v'Nichnas. You need a shomer. Shomer means a shomer has to be there. So, now who's a shomer? A sibling of the opposite gender is a shomer. So let's say you have a girl babysitting a boy over 9. So it's a yichud. But if the sister is in the house, so she's a shomeres, she's a good shomer. That's a sibling of the opposite gender. In this case, you have the babysitter as a girl and the 10-year-old boy. So you have his sister there, it's good. It says there in Shulchan Aruch that Belaila meaning the time people go to sleep for the night, doesn't mean Shkia, or he doesn't mean Tzeis Chav, it means when people go to sleep, let's say for a child, 10 o'clock, it depends who. I don't know. I used to have to sign my kids that they're in bed by 7:30. You ever got that when your kids were in your school, you have to sign the chuck-off sheet? Bed by 7:30. I never had one of my children in bed by 7:30. What? So I don't know. I called the principal. I said, "What's the 7:30 business?" So he said, "Just write brishus." I wrote always brishus. They stayed up later with brishus. But I said by 10 o'clock they go to sleep. So after 10, it says it's no good. And the language there is balayla. Balayla, it's not a good shomer. You need an extra shomer. So he brings a raya, it doesn't say when you go to sleep. It says balayla, which is mashma, that if you take a nap during the day, so that's still, you're still a good shomer. It's like Yitzhak v'Nichnas, you can wake up at any time, and therefore that's good enough, b'mokid Yitzhak v'Nichnas, even when someone is napping. Let's turn the page to the last machaber. Rama finishes, Amira Kilkel. Interesting. If a guy put butter into the roast beef, she made a treif, don't let her eat it. If you let her eat it, she'll do it again. So you got to throw it out. Don't give it to her. because then you'll entice her to do it again, and don't do it. Sifri Gimel talks about having access to the kosher seals. Yisrael she'asa gvinas be'sevik echavim, the chasam b'chaisim the fushalites. A yid made cheese in a geisha plant, and it's made in the form that cheese takes the form of its container. So the cheese is made in a container that has the shtempel kosher in the cheese itself. So that's a very good hechsher. But then shokach hatfus b'sevik echavim, he left the mold in the house of the guy. We would say he left the bags that have the hechsher in the house of the guy. In chayshis shemazayif avikachavim v'chasam acherim ba'isidfus, you don't have to be chayshish that they made other cheeses using your tefus. Chayin eloch shemichlo yichavim pnei agvinis b'shum l'chazir, and you also don't have to be chayshish that he would smear the cheese with shum chazir. So the Shach says, because he has no benefit from it, you're buying the cheese from him one way or the other, and since he has no benefit, you don't have to be chayshish. What? So the question is, if he's going to make additional cheese, but you know how many cheeses you made. You made 5 cheeses or 20 cheeses, and you're going to take 20. So the chash the place can talk about is that he's going to make a smaller cheese with your defus, and he's going to make an inferior cheese with your defus, and he'll switch it. So the shachs of Kut Mem addresses this. Shach Mem, the reason it's mutter here, he mentions a few reasons. That he's afraid that the Jew knows how he's making it, in a special way. Or he's afraid the Yid will recognize these are fresher cheeses and will recognize it. Oid, dikas feke tuva. Many sveges. Shemalei bach sum aneved mi oilam liyarevik echavim. He left the chaisim on his desk. So maybe the guy never picked it up. It is soem a baliyad a shemalei zayif. It is soem a zayif shemalei hemid al dover amutter. I call it Shem Mordechai. So the Shach brings 3 reasons we're not chayshish. The Pritaya says you need all 3 reasons together. I call it Shem Mordechai. And the Shach himself says, Hineh, based time we showed him, ain't my speaking, I listen to the Mishnah Yisrael based every Chav. Hatamachri mas, we got licked, I spent a green as a chairis, and Siftes. Siftes or Machri. Siftes. So he's coming to answer Siftes. He says, Vaila Siftes, Racha Shulchan, when he brings this, says the steer to Siftes, and he brings a Shach. The Shach is saying, normally you have to be Chayshish if the guy knows how to be Mazayif. And here it's talking that there are multiple reasons not to be chayish at him, because it's tricky to do the ziyuf. Today's bags, it's not tricky. If you have a bag, if he makes whatever product he makes, he sticks it into a bag and seals the bag, it's not tricky to be mezayif. And that's why today the shayrim are careful, and supposed to be careful, not to leave in the hands of a guy, not to leave access to the bags or the stickers that indicate that it's kosher. Says if in fact there's a chash that he switched it, you can't tell. So then it's aser. Makim hefsi yesh lahat.
What happens then?
That's Sif is talking. We forgot it by mistake. And he's saying b'makom hefsid yesh lahatir. Our maila with the bags that we have is, let's say you go to a plant, you make pretzels, right? You make with a hechsher, you make pretzels. You know exactly how many cases of pretzels you made. So when you get the cases of pretzels to the shop, what's the guy going to gain by having bags? He'll make more. What's he going to do with them? Right? The mashgiach was there, and he made 100 cases of pretzels. So if he's going to come in the warehouse and they deliver 120 cases, he knows that there's something wrong. So there's a little chashash that the guy will use the bags. I mean, l'chatchila, we don't leave the bags by him. But in a plant, there's very little chashash. The chashash is really in generic products. Generic, this places like ShopRite, they're always shopping around for a cheaper price at different places that make the generic. And there's a bigger chashad that they'll go to a plant that's cheaper. If you own the plant yourself, so there's no big deal. But when you go for the generics, it's a bigger chashad, and I think the hasherim are more careful with the bags, the boxes, the labels, the generic products than in the regular products. So Hajjun Allah, believe that in the Simen Kuf Yud Ches. I will surprise next week which Simen we're going to learn next, okay? We'll try to look it up.